Welcome to the Hope Elim Podcast.
We are a diverse church in the heart of Des Moines, seeking to bring God's kingdom as we live more like Jesus.
We hope that what you're about to hear points you to Jesus Christ. Know that we're praying for you and look forward to connecting with you soon.
Well, good morning, Hope Elim. Minister Bonnie Williams here. So very glad that each and every one of you are here. We always say this in the morning, but I love to say it, and this is both to our online folks that are coming in through the camera and through online, but here, we don't believe that it's an accident that each one of you is here. You may have woken up this morning and you may have said, I'm going to go to church, but please understand that the Creator God already knew that you were going to come to church. It is His will, amen, that you are here. So we are so very glad that you are here with us. We are in a sermon series and it's called A Church After God's Own Heart. And as you already heard, the messages for today, thank God for the light. Now, our text is coming from John chapter 1. And the text for today was supposed to start at verse 9, but we're going to actually back it up just a little bit to verse 6. So let's take a quick look and see what our text is going to talk to us, to teach us, to enlighten us about today. Let's take a look. So we are going to go and tell. In verses 6 through 8, we are to go and tell everyone about Jesus. In verses 9 through 11, we learn that Jesus Christ is the only one, the only true light of the world. And in verses 12 through 14, we are able to see that we get to experience the greatest news ever. Anybody here like great news? Good news? All right, well, you're in the right house. Jay, I see you. Amen. Now, listen, before we jump into the text, I just want to talk to you for just a minute or two. And if we were to be real and the pastors were to join me, when a pastor says to you, can I talk to you for a minute or two? It really needs a minute or two or three or four or five. So you guys go ahead and just come along with me. Why do we want to thank God for the light today? Because without it, we wouldn't know which way we're going. We need the light to be able to see where God is taking us. And you know, here's the thing. All through our lives, we are on so many different days, we find ourselves going to a lot of different places. So, any parents in the house? Yeah. So you guys know that on any given day, every day, you guys are taking your children to school. We go to the park. We head to work. I know there are folks that are traveling and just getting back from vacation. So jealous. I know we're not supposed to be jealous, but I'm jealous. Yeah. We go out to dinner. Favorite. We have to go to the grocery store. Not favorite. Right? We head to a friend's house. We come to church, and inevitably, we arrive at home. I don't know if any of you grew up with a mom or dad saying something to this matter. Boy, I wish you would hurry up because I have got people to see and things to do. Any of you guys ever remember hearing that? Yeah. Well, here's the thing. In Genesis 1:3, God said, let there be light. It was the first creative act that God did. And guess what? There was light. So we can thank God for creating the light that the sun and the moon generates to help us see where we are going. And I have to tell you that without this light, we would all be groping around in the dark, not knowing which way is up, bumping into one another. And you think that we have a lot of car accidents now? Woo! That would be no joke. And speaking of that, speaking of not knowing which way to turn, any of you guys here do GPS? Yeah. Well, you know, there are some people that even using the GPS is directionally challenged because no matter how much light comes from the screen, it just doesn't seem like they can get us in the right direction. Do you know anybody like that, Ben? I mean, I'm just asking the question. Do you know? No? Oh. Sis Rebecca, we'll leave that alone. Okay. Here's the thing. Our text reveals us that the greater than the natural light and all the sources of light that we need to show us the way outwardly, the Bible says that inwardly we all suffer from spiritual darkness. And so from the moment that Adam and Eve sinned, humans have lived in a fallen world. Every single one of us, born of our mother, born of water, born of flesh and blood, we are all in a fallen state of sin and separation from God. And can I tell you, we here at Hope Elam, we preach the Word of God. And so we always want to preach the truth of the Word of God. Every single one of us needs to hear this message about the light of Jesus Christ coming into the world so that he can heal us from the inward spiritual darkness that we are born in. Well, what is spiritual darkness? It means not having fellowship with God through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the only one who is able to come into the world and take away the sins of the world. He was the sacrificial lamb. So let us take a look at Genesis 2, 7 to understand that we are more than flesh and blood. Let's take a look. The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. What is that telling us? That we are more than flesh and blood, that because God is spirit, because he created us in his image and likeness, when God breathed into our nostrils the breath of life, we are more than that. We are now created in his likeness. So the flesh and blood, that part of us, it will not be able to move on from this earth. But can I tell you what part of us does? Our spirit. Our spirit will live on forever. And so here's the truth. Until a person is reborn of God's spirit, he or she lives in spiritual darkness. We were born into sin, and sin darkens our understanding, and it destroys our spiritual sight. That is why they were not able to recognize Jesus when he came into the world, because their hearts were hardened by sin, full of sin, and they weren't even able to recognize God who was standing right in front of them. Listen, God did not send Jesus, the light of the world, to save our physical bodies. We've talked about that. But God did come into the world to save our spirit. If we want to live on for all eternity and we want to live in eternity with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, with the light of the world, then we must accept Jesus Christ for who he is. Jesus is God. He came into the world. He is the light of the world, and he has saved us from our sin. You know, scripture tells us that God created us for relationship. I love it. It says that he created us out of his great love. That God, even though he didn't need us, because God is God all by himself and he is not lonely, but God said, I want to create man and woman in my image. And why did he do that? Because he wants to love us and he wants us to love him. He wants us to be in worship with him and to serve him and to be able to fellowship with him. And out of God's great love, he sent Jesus Christ himself to dwell among us. Why? So that we could experience him in a real and tangible way. What we need to understand is that God, being who God is, there is no variation of shadow. Who God is in his holiness, he cannot even be around sin. He cannot be around any darkness or evil. And so what did he do? He wanted us to be able to see who he is. Isn't he good? Oh, isn't he good? So what did he do? He sent Jesus Christ so that we could see him right here face to face, to recognize the character and the light and the love of who he is. Let's take a look at these scriptures. Without Jesus, we would never be able to see God. No one has ever seen God but the one and only Son, who is himself God and in the closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. If you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. Woo! And I'm going to tell you why that should bring some joy and some pep into your step. Right, Vince? We got to have some pep in our step. Because here's why. Without Jesus coming here, we would not ever truly be able to know or understand him. And the first thing we would do is we would doubt God's love for us. But in the works that he did and in the death that he died, Jesus Christ revealed God's love for us. Jesus Christ came and he taught us who God is. He sacrificed himself for us. There is absolutely nothing that any one of us could do that could ever earn our salvation. There's no amount of good works. There's nothing that we can do to make ourselves right in God's eyes. And I'm here to tell you, we ought to be glorifying God and thanking God for that, because I'm going to tell you what, when somebody asks us to sacrifice, we don't even want to sacrifice our cheeseburger. Now see, all the folks that just got done laughing, you're the ones that you're not sacrificing the cheeseburger. It's like, I know you didn't ask me for my cheeseburger. You better go on and get your own. You know, why? Because sin in its root is selfishness. And so Jesus came and he was able to show us that God is not selfish, but that he was willing to give it all up for us. So Benjamin, the next time I'm hungry, you need to reflect God, you need to show me God's love, and you need to give me that cheeseburger. Can I get an amen? Okay. Without Jesus, we would question his goodness and his care, but Jesus Christ, all through his ministry, acknowledged every people, all the people's needs and the desire to meet them. We talk about this all the time here, that Jesus Christ did the majority of his ministry on the way to ministry. And that he didn't mind being interrupted. He had a heart of compassion. So when we look at Jesus's life and we look at how he walked and we looked at how he did ministry, Jesus is a reflection of how he loves us and the care that he has to meet our needs. And can I tell you something? I don't care where we're at. I don't care what we're going through. That is who God is, that there is no interrupting God. So don't ever think that that's your daddy. Reach out to him. He will be there like Jesus Christ was there for those in need. Isn't God good? Without Jesus, we might consider God to be unfair. Has anybody here in this house ever experienced life situations that have made you say out your mouth, life is unfair? Come on. My sis in the front, I love you. She was like, boom. Listen, Jesus wants us to know and understand that God is a very fair God, and that his interactions with us, no matter what our background, no matter what our race, no matter what the ethnic color of our skin, no matter what it is that we have. Can I tell you about Jesus? Sis, can I tell you about Jesus? In that time, women were considered lowest on the totem pole. And women were instructed that you better not come out of the house and open up your mouth. They were instructed that when they stepped outside the house, they were to keep that mouth quiet. But yet Jesus bucked the system and let everybody know, and he invited women along in ministry. He invited women along and he affirmed them and he empowered them to be able to serve and to be able to be seen from you know, society as being worthy and valuable of his love, of his assignment of ministry. Amen. I'm telling you right now that God has no favorites. Well, when I wrote this message, when God did it, one of the things I've learned is that whatever gets put in here, it's because whoever it is that's here needs to hear this. And I'm here to tell you right now that there's someone in here that as you're walking through your life, you see yourself as less than. You see yourself that God seems to pick everybody else or that everybody else is more important, or that everybody else is valuable. But I'm here to tell you, the Bible says God does not show favoritism. And what it is that he wants to do for my brother Julian is the same thing that he will do for you. What he does for you in the balcony is the same thing that he will do for you here. He does not show any favoritism. God loves you. He 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 loves you. Can I just stay there, Pastor John? He loves you. He loves you. And without Jesus, we would be forever fatherless. Jesus showed us that we can approach God as a child approaches a father. I'm not going to go back. I've shared this story before, but it's important. And the reason why this is so important is because our view of God and his love for us as a father, it literally directs the direction that you're going to go in your relationship with Jesus Christ. And I'm a living witness. I grew up without a father. I grew up without a father figure. And so I did not understand how much my father wanted to care for me and to love me and to take care of me and to see to me. And so it took me until I was about 45 years old. And one day I was in prayer and I was reading Psalm 139, 13 through 18. And in there it says that God decided to create me. He decided to create me, and he knit me together in the secret of my mother's womb. And he said that every day that the thoughts that he has for me, I can't even number them in the sand. Do you know what that tells me? Come on, somebody work with me. You know what that tells you? It says that not one single person in this house is without a daddy. Every single one of us was created by God, and he is your father. He created you. Don't you walk out of here. Don't you walk out of here and say to yourself, I don't have a father. Because yes, you do. Yes, you do. And real quick, I'll just tell you this. He never wastes our time. We are always to be a testimony, paying it forward. And I was at church about a week later, and a young lady sat by me, and I am not making this up, never would. And she sat next to me, and she said, Minister Bonnie, can I ask you a question? I said, sure. She said, how am I able to understand that God loves me like a father? Because my dad left me. He abandoned me. And so when I think about wanting to trust God, it's hard for me because if my father abandoned me, if he didn't want to take care of me, why would God want to? And I was able to sit and tell her my testimony and to watch those tears come down her face for her to realize that, yes, she does have a father. Amen? Let me help you to understand that with this quote. J.I. Packer says this. If you want to judge how well a person understands Christianity, find out how much he makes of the thought of being God's child and having God as his father. Everything that Christ taught is summed up in the knowledge of the fatherhood of God. Father is the Christian name for God. So we're just going to take a quiet moment before we move forward. And I just am praying that each one of you can say, I am a child of God, and I am not fatherless, that when I leave here, even right now, even at this moment, I have my Father in heaven, loving me, surrounding me, accepting me, keeping me, walking with me, fighting for me, saving me, empowering me, gifting me. Come on, come on. Listen. Jesus spoke God's words. He thought God's thoughts. He felt and expressed God's emotions, and he did God's work. Jesus was sent here to reveal the Father to us. So the world needs Jesus like we need Jesus. So we want to talk from our text today that God tells us to go and tell. Hear that, sis? Go and tell. Amen. Let's take a look. So the first verses that we're going to look at are verses 6 through 8 of our text. God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness about the light. Let me just ask you this. When we think about John the Baptist and we think about how we can relate to him, John the Baptist was ordained for that time. He was called for that purpose. When he was there in the wilderness, there were strategic people in that wilderness that John the Baptist was sent to be able to let them know that Jesus, the light of the world, had entered in. So when you look at your life, think about all of the people that have crossed your path. You remember what we talked about? Y'all didn't get born into a relationship with Christ, right? You got born into spiritual darkness. You got born separated from the Spirit of God because of that sin nature. So just think about it for a minute. Who was it that crossed your path? Was it your grandmother? Baby, I just want to tell you how much God loves you. Was it a father, a mother that took you to church, that took you to Sunday school, that would go home and you couldn't understand why she would be on her knees praying because you just didn't get it? Was it a friend who came into your life to say, girl, you need Jesus? Did you have a brother that came into your life, bro, you really need Jesus? But my point is this, just like John the Baptist, God is calling us to all be little lanterns. And he's calling us to cross people's paths, and he's calling us to go and be that light, because we don't know what that person needs. We don't know where they're at as far as God calling their hearts into that light so that they can receive the Lord Jesus Christ. For me, the first time was when I was 11. And I know this is really hard to believe because I know you guys see the perfectly shaped halo. You guys see it up here? If you don't see it, we'll have a talk. Ooh, I was a piece of work. So my mother needed to find some folks that could watch me because I was just acting a straight up fool. And what she did was she found this Italian family, and it was a mother, a father, of course, husband and wife, and their daughter, April, and they had this nursing home ministry. And when I came into their house, I immediately felt something different. I didn't feel the chaos. I didn't feel the darkness. I felt this calmness. I felt this joy. I felt this cohesiveness, and I'm like, ooh, what is this? But can I tell you that what was really weird is at first I didn't like it because I wasn't used to it. It was different. And they would go to the nursing home and he would preach and she would sing. But what really got me was being around their daughter, April. She didn't talk back to her parents. I didn't do that. She didn't talk back to her parents. She drew me in to the light. They drew me in to the light. And can I tell you, she wasn't the only one. God knew that it was going to take till I was 29 years old to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And over and over and over again, all through those years, he would plant seed after seed after seed, and he would allow me to learn and hear about Jesus and witness who God was through the life of other people. We are to go out and we are to be those little lanterns. We are to go and tell people about Jesus. Can I just tell you the truth about the Word of God? The Bible says that we either accept Jesus or we reject him. There is no middle ground. The world can talk about, hey, Jesus isn't real, I don't believe the Bible, I've been to church, and whatever it may be, they can talk about Jehovah's Witness, they can talk about them, but there is only one God. And there is only one way to the Father. Jesus said, there is no way to the Father but through me. Jesus Christ is the light. He came into the world. He accepted his calling straight to the cross. And he sacrificed himself so that we could be made right in our hearts. Let's take a look at the second point that our text teaches us. Jesus Christ is the one and only true light of the world. Let's take a look at the scripture. The one who is true light, which by the way in Greek true means authentic, genuine, and real, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He came into the very world that he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his very own people and they rejected him. You know, John the Baptist was a very bright light. He illuminated the light, but he was not the true light. Jesus is the true light. He is the real deal. He is the genuine article. In this particular fourth gospel of John, written by the son of Zebedee, the disciple that Jesus loved, the one that was at the Last Supper, was making a very conscious effort to distinguish Jesus from all the rest of the lights. Why? Because you can only have eternal life through Jesus Christ alone. So to be the true light means that Jesus isn't one of many lights. You have to admit out of your mouth and believe in your heart that he is the only true light. Jesus is the genuine and complete revelation of God, because here it is. If you want to see God and you really want to know who God is, all you got to do is look to Jesus. And if you want to know God, you've got to turn to Jesus. Jesus brought the revelation of God's life and light, the message of God's grace, into a spiritually blind and a very dark world. So let me ask you a question. When the sun is shining, who needs to be told that it's out? The blind. When Jesus Christ came into the world, he was the light of the world. He gave the light of life, but yet they were not able to recognize him because they were blind. Jesus says to us, whoever believes in me does not believe in me only, but in the one who sent me. The one who looks at me is seeing the one who sent me. I have come into the world as a light so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. Ooh, that's some good news right there. I haven't gotten to that slide yet, but that's good news. All right. So let's take a look at some of the reasons why the world rejected Jesus. In Scripture, it tells us that he was from Galilee, an area that was often disrespected by those who considered themselves the spiritually elite. Jesus was born in Nazareth. Well, what good can come from there? He was born of a family of meager means. Jesus continually showed himself to be the Messiah, but the Sadducees and the Pharisees, they refused to believe in him. Israel, the Jews, his own people rejected Jesus as the Messiah because he did not fit the preconceived idea of a warrior king who would come and deliver them from the political oppression. In John 3:20, it tells us, everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. What am I saying? When we are born into sin, sin is, at its core, selfish. And so for those who are still sinning and desire to want to live a life that is the opposite of God's word and the opposite of what he calls us to, they will stay in the darkness because they don't want their deeds exposed. And people reject Jesus because of the darkness of their hearts. Darkness stands as the state of mind in which mankind fails to welcome the light. Have you guys ever been in a conversation with a friend or been in a situation where somebody exposed something that you were doing that you knew wasn't right and you did not want to hear it? There you go. We all go through it. And it's hard because who wants to hear the truth, right? We want to be, especially when we want to continue to do what we want to do and it feels good and it's moving us in the direction that we want to go, but it's not going in the direction that God wants us to go. And I will tell you, it is really, really important that you have people in your life that love you, that mentor you, that surround you with the truth of the Word of God, because guess what? We can all at times turn aside and go in a direction that we shouldn't go. And when you surround yourself with people who are mentors and people who love God and really love you, can I tell you this? Can I tell you this? People who really care and love about you, they'll tell you the truth. Even if it hurts. Huh? Even if it hurts, because that is love. I have got so many of my sisters in here, and I'm just going to take a moment to all the women in this house. Woo, woo. We need each other. We need each other. And I have got so many women that love me, that support me, that mentor me, one in particular in the house, my sister Clintina, that there have been times that we have sat in Village Inn, and there have been some things that I have come to her and I've wanted to stay stubborn and I wanted to stay in a place that I didn't want to do what I knew God had called me to do. Yeah, preachers can do that. Can we just keep it real? And she said, "Nah, sis, that's not pleasing to God." And I said, "Well, that's not what I wanted to hear." And she says, "Well, too bad, because I love you. And I want you to live a life that's pleasing to God, and I want his stamp of approval to continue moving forward." Listen, we need to see these scriptures because this keeps us real and grounded as why it is so important that we share the gospel. Take a look. This is the word of God. Their minds are full of darkness. They wander from the life God gives because they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against them. Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. Have you guys ever been in a situation where you have shared the gospel? You have told somebody about who Jesus is and who Jesus is to you in your life, and they have rejected the truth? Can I just tell you that rejection hurts? But I'm also here to tell you that they're not rejecting you. The Bible says that we do not fight flesh and blood, but we are fighting a spiritual battle over their condition of their hearts, over their soul and where it's going to go. And I'm here to tell you that they are not rejecting you. They are rejecting the truth of the Word of God. And we as the church, we need to hear that there are still many people that we know personally that are out in the world that still have not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it makes it difficult when we feel that rejection because, like I said before, it's personal, it hurts, but we're in good company. The Bible says that when Jesus came, that it says that they chose to not recognize him and that even his own rejected him. But can I tell you something about this rejection? Jesus did something that most of us would not and will not do. He stayed. That it didn't matter how many people told him that he wasn't who he said he was. It didn't matter how many people mocked him. It didn't matter how many people persecuted him. He stayed. And why is that so important for us to know and understand? Because when we walk away, the light walks away with us. Let me show you something. When we as Christians, when we as the church make the decision to be the church, whether it be in our home or whether it be here at the church, and folk, can we just talk about it? Yes, I snorted. When people are hurting, hurting people hurt people. And when people are hurting, we don't necessarily like to be around that, do we? We really would rather not have to deal with it. But the Bible says that when we were hurting, Jesus Christ loved us. When we were in need, Jesus Christ loved us. In our greatest need, Jesus Christ sacrificed himself. And so when God sends us across the path or he sends the people here and we don't decide to press or to stay and we decide to take the light, we take the light from them. And I just want to show you something. Brother, would you come here for me? Who has God sent to you to show the light in their life when they're hurting? Does this good-looking man here represent a brother? Does this good-looking man represent a father? Does Robert represent a son? A neighbor? Sis, come here for me. Does this beautiful woman, Felita, represent a sister that's hurting? A woman that comes in that needs to be received and accepted and loved despite the amount of anger or the hurt or whatever it is that she's facing? Who is God calling you to be a witness to? Who is God sending you into their life? Amen? Is there a little kiddo in the house that would come forward for me? Would a little kiddo come forward for me? Yeah, come on, young man. Right here. Look at you. Turn around. There you go. Oh, you're so smart. This cutie patootie. I grew up never hearing about Jesus Christ. And I'm here to tell you that that you being a mother, a parent, a Sunday school teacher, a care person here, every time that you love on the little kids who may not know the love of Jesus Christ yet, you are being that light. So here's what happens. Eric, go ahead. So here I am. I've got the love of Jesus Christ, Lord. I'm supposed to go out into the world, and I'm supposed to be that light, and we're supposed to teach about that. And so here I am, and I've got the light, and, you know, they can see the light, right? And the light draws them to him. But you know what? Then somebody says something I don't like. And somebody does something that I like. And heaven forbid that in the house of God we get offended. Do you all know that the greatest tool that the enemy has is the spirit of offense? Yes. Because he knows that when we are not united, we are divided. Yes. And so here's what happens. So somebody offends me, and you know what? I said, you know what? I'm gonna take my light and I'm gonna bounce. Jesus stayed. But here's what we do. Look what happens to their area. Do you see the light? So when we choose to not press, when we choose to not do what God has called us to do, we're leaving the people that God has sent us to in darkness. And the Bible says that we do not know the hour nor the day that we will leave this earth. It is a matter of life or death. But even though folk get on my nerve, and I get on their nerves, and God calls us to love one another, watch what happens. Are y'all ready? Walk with me. So watch what happens. So as I walk in the light, and God sends folks in my path to serve and to love and the family members, can I just tell you real quick, I'm going to interject. This is for somebody. Somebody in here has given up on a family member, on a loved one, on someone that you know God is calling you to love and to serve and to sacrifice, and you say, mm-mm, I'm out, peace. And you've taken your light and you've walked away. But this is what happens. Y'all ready with me? Let's go. So as I walk in the light, they walk in the light. And so as I let Christ lead me, they follow, and they are following the light of Jesus Christ. And guess where this leads them to? It leads them to the truth. It leads them to church. It leads them to an opportunity to be loved. Amen? Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. Thank you. I shared with you that because that's the reality. I shared with you that because the Bible says that when one person comes to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ our Lord, all of heaven rejoices. So if all of heaven rejoices over one sinner who repents, do you think that it's kind of important to God that we take the one and only true light of Jesus Christ, and that we are little lanterns, and that we are willing to do whatever God has called us to do so that God can do the work in them and bring them to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ like he brought us? Amen. So we're wrapping up. In John 3, it says, I tell you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of both water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised, Jesus said to Nicodemus, at my saying, you must be born again. So how do we do that? Let's look. It's one of my favorite scriptures. The greatest news ever. But to all who believed in him and accepted him, right there, but to all who believed and accepted him, people chose not to. There's a choice. We have a choice. He gave the right to become the children of God. They are reborn not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. So the Word became human, made his home among us, and he was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. When one is saved, we are born again. We are spiritually renewed. We are now a child of God, and we are now holding up that light, and God is able to take us in the direction that he has always wanted us to take us, and that is into heaven for all eternity. To be loved by our Heavenly Father, to have eternal life forever and ever and ever and ever. So the last slide, let me just take a quick look. For those who are in Christ and you have received him and you are a child of God, I just want you to take a quick look at these benefits. And the reason why is because we're going to close today and we're going to think about all that God has done and that we want to have a heart of gratitude. Amen? It is so easy sometimes to be wherever we're at in life and not be grateful. Not be grateful, not have a heart of gratitude and an attitude that says, God, no matter what I've gone through, as long as I've got you. Take a look. A child of God means that you have access to the throne of grace. Through prayer, anytime, from any place, we have the promise that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. And that means that as you're walking in Christ, that when you make a mistake, when you fall down, it says all you got to do is pray, and God says he'll extend his mercy and that he will help you in whatever you need. He has mercy upon mercy upon mercy. A child of God trusts his who? Father. To supply all of his needs according to his riches and his glory in Christ Jesus. When you are not in Christ, you wake up every day and you're like, how am I going to get this done? What am I going to have to do? How am I going to get this done? How am I going to figure this out? But when we are God's child, he says, listen, all you got to do is come to me. And he says, I got it all worked out for you. And when you read his word and you begin to do the things that he's called us to do, can you just imagine a life where you wake up and you're like, well, okay, Dad, I'm going to go ahead and this is what I need, and I'm going to trust that you've got it. It's a completely different mindset. Amen? A child of God is confident that the Father in heaven will give good gifts to those who ask him. And since I picked on my husband, I'm going to now say, God, thank you. He will give you very good gifts if you believe, because he is that good. And the last one, a child of God has an eternity in heaven waiting for you. If you have not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, if you are here right now and you do not know the first step, you know that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, you know that you have been born into spiritual darkness and you have yet to ever speak the words that Jesus Christ is the only true light, I want you, when we are done, we're going to have prayer partners, please come down. Please let us walk with you through that prayer. Amen? So when we stand and we go to worship, I just want you guys to think about the light that God had sent into your life. Who did God send to show you the light and be grateful? When you think about all that he has done for you, stand up and just thank God and praise God, because he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Amen? Amen. Let's worship.
Thanks so much for joining us. To find out more about Hope Elim, follow us on Instagram at hope.elim or visit our website at hope-elim.org.